This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made an important announcement today, and no, it had absolutely nothing to do with USMCA. Happy Impeachment Day!
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we welcome longtime friend of the show, Brian Doherty, from Total Farm Management by Stuart Peterson. And right after the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures checks in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis Michelson, thank you so much. I don't mean to make light of it. I mean, it's not a good day for the country when the Speaker of the House goes to the podium and says, we are moving forward with the articles of impeachment. But it just, everyone that I've reached out to for to get their perspective on what today means, everybody wants to laugh this off, Davis. It's really interesting, and some issues and a lot of political issues, I tend to be a little skeptical of the majority opinion. And because of that, I'm thinking if everybody just wants to laugh this off, we probably better be taking it more seriously than many are in Washington, D.C. The assumption is that the House vote will be along party lines, that President Trump will be impeached. And once it moves to the Senate, there will be no conviction, and we'll move on from that. Now, John Harith, Farm Journal News Director, he took up residence on an island pretty much all to himself, saying that he thought that President Trump would be impeached and would be convicted. He was on that island by himself for a long time. I think he still pretty much is, but I'm starting to look for some rental properties.
Because I think the whole thing is ridiculous.
That's how it feels, right? That's exactly how it feels. But I just feel like we really need to take this more serious than maybe I want, because it's been my assumption, Davis, that we would just, the House would impeach, the Senate would not convict, and we'll move on. I still really think that that's what's going to happen, but I think there are risks that it could go further than what many people believe.
You know, one good thing to come out so far is we're really finding some great constitutional thinkers. I'm thinking of Mr. Jordan. I'm thinking of Mr. Nunez, others. You know, these may be controversial figures to people who disagree with their views on the Constitution itself. But for a Republican Party who has long been looking for some stars, someone to rally around, if nothing else, I feel like those sorts of people are beginning to emerge through these hearings and through this process.
Very interesting point, Davis. You know, we need to bring that up tomorrow morning on the free-for-all.
Let's do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Let's get you the news. What moving markets?
You bet. Well, wheat export sales in the weekend of November 28 totaled just 228,000 metric tons. That fell short of trade expectations and were about 45% below the four-week average. March SRW futures opened steady, rallied to test resistance at 530, then turned back to the downside. Another high-range open, low-range close suggests follow-through selling for Friday's session and likely a test of support near the 520 level. Algeria bought French and Argentine wheat this week, and it looks like the U.S. was successful in selling Japan just over 90,000 metric tons of food quality wheat. March hard red futures were a nickel lower, 435.5. March soft red futures slipped 3.75 cents to 523.75. March spring wheat was off 1.25 at 513.75. Chip.
Yeah, and we've got to keep a real close eye on what's going on the chart picture. We'll talk a little bit about that with Brian coming up in a bit.
Corn export sales in the weekend of November 28 were at the low end of trade expectations and came in at just over 546,000 metric tons. That's for delivery in the current marketing year. Japan was the lead buyer in the week. March corn futures opened slightly lower and tried to rally on spillover support from soybeans. But by the end of the day, corn prices were back at session lows, pointing to a test of support near last week's lows at 373. March corn futures were 1.75 lower, 376.75. May corn fell 2 cents, 382.5. December 2020 corn closed at 390.5, down 1.5 cents. Chip.
Yeah. Hey, I can't say anything after you do the Barbara thing on 2020.
Soybean export sales in the weekend of November 28 totaled nearly 684,000 metric tons, but that was well short of trade expectations. China did top the list of buyers, helping to support bean prices. During afternoon trade, President Donald Trump suggested there is progress being made in trade talks with China. He hinted at a mid-December happening, helping bean prices hold on to moderate price gains. January bean futures were 6.25 cents higher at 8.84 1/4. July beans firmed 6.75 cents to 9.26 3/4. Novi beans closed 9.33, up 3.75 cents. Chip.
I was trying to get optimistic, but after hearing President Trump say, it looks like something is going to happen on December 15th regarding the China trade talks, I'm back to phase none. I am back to phase none. It just is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Hey, let's get to the livestock news next segment. Bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing this afternoon there, Oliver?
I love it. Phase none. That's a good one. You got to trademark that.
TM on that one. Yes. So beans did try to, at least they held on to some moderate gains today. A lot of that might have had to do with a little more optimism over China trade.
Something big is happening. Well, phase one is happening. No, I think the last couple sessions has been relief, and unfortunately, I think it might be just that until we start to see some more follow through. The price action is good to see, but got to remember from where we're coming from, 865 to 870, basically a quadruple bottom against those August, September lows, extremely oversold since making contract low. So you're seeing relief here. 894, 895 is the target we're looking at. This is previously trend line support, now becomes resistance. You also got the 50% retracement, or basically the middle of the range from those contract lows to those recent highs. So that's going to be a battleground area, not to mention psychologically significant $9 handle just above there. So we might be able to squeeze out another 10 cents of upside. But if you look at the chart over the last couple months, we've been trending lower. So I would have a caution flag and kind of temper your expectations if you're bullish here.
Yeah. Oliver, is there any volume at all in these markets right now?
There is a little bit. It certainly started to die out. You can see it reflected in the corn market. It is like watching paint dry, unfortunately, a stick in the mud. Corn, I was hoping to be a little bit more optimistic earlier in the week, but we just weren't able to get out above 380 with any sort of conviction, any sort of volume, and that's really what's lagging right now. We need to see just more participation and some follow through when we get those positive moves.
Very good. Very good. Oliver, thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you again later.
Take care.
You bet. That is Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get to that livestock news, get the livestock closes, and then it's a conversation with Brian Doherty from TFM by Stuart Peterson. Today I'm joined by Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta. Steve, we can all agree that saving money is great, but sometimes the appeal of saving money up front baits us into spending more in the long run and jeopardizing farm finances. How can growers avoid falling into that trap? And let's talk about it as it pertains to corn herbicides.
Sure. We've seen and we've had customers even tell us that paying a little more up front for a quality herbicide can save you money in the long run. And that seemed to be even more apparent during the tough season we just had, as you know. And everybody knows the most expensive herbicide you can buy is the one that doesn't work.
Yeah. Steve, what are some of the problems growers can run into if they skimp on their herbicides?
Yeah, there's both short-term and long-term issues. Short-term, you can have shorter residual control, which can cause weed escapes, and that can lead to more money being spent on other treatments or rescue treatments. And you get reduced yield with early season weeds competing with the crop for water, sunlight, and nutrients. And then longer-term, you can build up that seed bank, and you can also increase your chance of developing resistance, and these can really cost you down the road.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a lot to consider, though. What corn herbicides do you recommend growers consider for 2020?
Yeah, good question, Chip. Only Acuron corn herbicide unlocks your full yield potential because it controls those tough weeds other products are missing. And when you see it used at pre-emergent application at full label rates, Acuron's going to help growers find 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. So that means even though you're investing a little more up front, you're going to get that back plus some more at the end of the season.
What is it about Acuron, Steve, that makes it have such a positive impact on yield?
Well, it starts with the unique active ingredient, bicyclopyrone, which when combined with the other three active ingredients, it just delivers a higher level of weed control and more often. Yeah. And better weed control leads to higher yield potential.
Right. Very cool. Thank you so much, Steve. That was Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, talking to us about how it's worth spending a little more up front on an effective corn herbicide like Acuron. Just a reminder to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
David.
We're going to have a conversation with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. But first, let's get to that livestock news there.
Well, Chip, February live cattle futures opened slightly lower and slipped to a new low for the week before optimism of strength in the cash cattle market helped futures move back to the plus side. Despite some recent pressure on choice boxed beef values, beef packing margins remain very strong, making for some strong competition for cattle. February cattle futures were 42.5 cents higher at 124.60. April cattle futures gained 15 cents to close at 125.15. January feeders slipped 32.5 cents to 140.55. And on the snout side, export sales of pork in the week ended November 28 totaled 30,600 metric tons. For delivery in 2019, Mexico and China were at the top of the list. Still, lean hog futures were under pressure with hefty supplies of pork coming into the market every single day, Chip. February hogs were 85 cents lower, 67.57 and a half. April hogs off a buck and a quarter, 73.50.
Yeah, you know, the way that this market is absorbing those record slaughter levels, though, and the record pork production, it's it is pretty impressive. And a lot of it has to do, you got to believe, with the anticipation that we're going to see China buying of pork continue into the future. All right.
Say,
thanks, Davis.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, just real quick question before we get to Brian. I remember a Chip and Davis moment early in our radio career. We were set up at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting convention down in Kansas City. It was the year the Royals won the World Series. It was a big year.
Oh, I know where you're going.
And we were – I can't remember which way it went. I think it was we were talking to Brian Daugherty.
Yeah.
And Brian Basting goes walking by.
Right.
And you're like, my guest today, Brian Basting. It was a Brian moment for us.
I got my wires crossed up there a little bit, didn't I, Brian? Yeah. It was kind of a weird day. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Hey, Brian, welcome to AgriTalk. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
You bet.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, we were just talking livestock trade, and I'm kind of glad that we let that livestock news slip into this segment because I want to start there with you. The competition for cattle, it's still very real, isn't it, Brian?
Well, it is. And, you know, here's my concern is when you just finished talking about these big daily hog slaughters day after day. And it's a pretty good value in the retail sector right now. So one of the concerns I would have if I'm talking to a cattle producer is to encourage them, don't get too comfortable with these prices. I love them. We've been friendly cattle for a long time. We thought we'd get this typical, what I'm going to call seasonal run. It's probably been a little better than I would have thought. And now there's a lot of prognosticators that say, hey, we could even go higher. That may be the case, but I want to be really, really careful here to not fall in that trap of comfort. I've got a couple signals up there, double top on that April chart, bearish key reversal last week, good comeback today, but really not a strong finish. We just clawed back in the positive territory by the close. So just, you know, cautious out there. So how do you defend that? I like using the put option market. I like using stops under futures, or probably the strategy I prefer is buying a put and selling a call, maybe selling a couple calls.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk more about that strategy there for a second. It is always amazing how after a market reaches what was the upside projection of many in the business, you know, that instead of just saying, hey, okay, we got to a buck and a quarter in the February live cattle. That's where I thought we could get. We even got a couple of bucks above that for a short period of time. Instead of being satisfied with it, they changed the outlook.
Yeah. So be careful. Let's go back to last April just for kicks. This was, and I'm looking at the same contract, but back in April, the market peaked on a nice steady uptrend through February, March, and April. And topped at 127, and well, to be exact, 127.17, and our high so far this year, which comes here on the 29th, lo and behold, is 127.17.
Yeah.
But when it did peak last April, just again, it's a reflection of how fast things fall. Went from 127 down to 115 by May 9th. So you're talking less than 30 days, about 3 weeks, just how fast things go down. We saw it in the grain markets this year. When things tip over, they tip over so fast, and then it's hard to catch that. So I guess my encouragement is just, you know, it's a good rally. We've hit some objectives. You can be friendly,
right. But
realize that if it tips over, it might run kind of fast and hard, and just be prepared. That's,
yep. You
know, if nothing else, be prepared.
Exactly. Okay, and you said it. You prefer using some sort of an option strategy on this. The easiest, just buy the puts, right?
Yeah, to give your listeners some just background again, most probably know this, but let's just take a few seconds here. Buying
yep.
a put gives the buyer, the owner of that option, the right to sell futures but not obligation. So it's like buying an insurance policy against downward futures price.
Right.
So people often look at that and go, that's a good idea. And they look at the price and go, oh, I don't know. That seems a little,
right.
little pricey. Everything's a little pricey.
Right.
So you either bite the bullet and buy the put, but it does give you unlimited upside potential. So we like that concept that if we are just pausing in another leg higher to a bull market, then we're able to participate in that. But it makes sense to put some type of flooring mechanism in the market. And so sometimes people say, that's a little expensive. Is there anything I can do to cheapen that? Well, you can, but everything you do, remember, adds some level of either cost or risk or both. So
mm-hmm.
just understand these strategies if you move into them. But I'm a fan of the fence where you're fencing in a range of prices. So you buy a put, pay a premium, sell a call above the market, collect a premium.
Right.
And so you're reducing the cost of your put, or you're willing, if you sell a call, this gets a little complicated, but you're
yep.
willing to accept that call, which is a marginable position now, could turn into a short hedge, but it can only do so at the higher, at the strike price you sold. So I view it really as a win-win for producers. You win if the market goes down. If it goes up, you hedge higher.
Right. Right.
And you're better off than where the market currently is today. So good concept. Just understand before you jump into that, but a way to protect cattle for sure. I always am concerned how fast prices can drop out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point right there, Brian. Number one, really good explanation of the strategy there. I appreciate that, and I know everybody else does too. Number two, your point there about how this cattle market can turn in a heartbeat. Very accurate. And when it does turn and the buying just kind of is erased or evaporates out of that market, it becomes a market where you anticipate that, okay, maybe there's $8 in downside risk to the next level of support. Whatever that is, it can turn into a market that does all your eight plus another eight in a short period of time.
Sure. It can catapult downward.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
and you get a lot, you can get this, you can get a lot of selling in the market from people who have no bias to be sellers.
Exactly.
But what they're looking at is a market that, as it goes down, it triggers sell stops.
Yep.
And as those are triggered, just want to make sure that I said the April contract I was looking at, April 120 in the 127 area. I might have quoted 117. I'm not sure on that, but 127 we're talking April. And that rally, remember, it started in September on that April contract, and we were down at 110. And I can tell you, producers were saying, boy, if we could just, you know, they weren't happy with the way things went with after that Tyson fire for sure.
Right.
They said, if we could just get back up in that 118, 119 area, well, you've got that and then some. So, again, just good risk management is the kind of the preach today.
Right. Gotcha. So that's kind of an upfront strategy. How far out do you want to go with this?
Well, I don't think we need to do anything there in December. February, I'd probably just purchase puts. I don't see a lot of premium to be collected on the short call.
Okay.
I like going out to April. I like going out to June. Now, June is discount to April, but it's still the same pattern and same trend. And still the same prices we're defending. So so June you have in that one close to 117 area. I'm not enamored with going out to August or October yet, but you certainly could. The further out you go, the put is going to cost you more because you're buying more time of protection. But there again, if you can sell a call, you're selling more time there as well.
Exactly.
And I had hinted at maybe selling a couple of calls. That is, if you're going to buy puts on, let's say, half your production, and you sell two calls that could turn into to hedges higher, it would turn into hedges at on all of your productions. So,
right.
So I want to take that into context.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Good stuff there, Brian. Appreciate that very much. Now, when we come back, I want to go over to the corn market. We got to talk about what's going on with we talk about basis all the time on here, Brian, but you know what? I'm not going to shy away from it. We're going to continue to talk about corn basis and what it is telling us and what we know about export demand, domestic demand, and where you think this market might be going into the end of the year. That's next on AgriTalk.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. Yes. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at February live cattle futures today. The Tyson plant fire undercut the cattle market last summer, but the most active February contract rebounded from an early September low at $105.12 per hundredweight to last week's high at $127.15. That's a 21% rally in less than 3 months. As such, a short-term setback shouldn't be terribly surprising. Yesterday's breakdown carried the market decisively below its 10 and 20-day moving averages, with today's rebound retesting those levels before the late setback. A test of 40-day moving average support around 123 now seems likely. I expect that support to hold and possibly set the stage for a bullish fall through this winter. A look at the weekly continuation chart suggests a retest of the 130 highs from early 2018 and 19 is quite possible.
All right. Sounds like a nice spring rally to me. Thank you so much there, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Commodity Classic is unlike any other experience in agriculture.
The things you see here, it's all the newest, latest, greatest. Somebody here is going to take care of you no matter what size farm you are. So I say a regional farm show is like a high school championship football game. It's very cool. Everybody's excited. This is the Super Bowl.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. We are talking the markets with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Before we get back to the conversation with Brian, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the markets performed today.
Chip, March hard red futures were a nickel lower, 435.5. March soft red futures off 3.75 cents, 523.75. March corn futures were 1.75 cents lower at 376.75. May corn fell 2 cents to 382.5. January bean futures were 6.25 cents higher at 884.25. July beans firmed 6.75 cents to 926.75. February cattle futures 42.5 higher, 124.60. Jan feeders off 32.5 to 140.55. And February hogs were 85 cents lower, 67.57.5. There's your quick market recap. Now back to you, Chip.
All right, thank you so much, Davis. Yeah, in the last segment, Brian and I talked quite a bit about what's going on in the cattle market. We got some supportive comments from Dan Vaught there about one of the reasons that it might be important to keep some upside potential alive and to just use a put option. You know, Dan was talking about the potential that if we do see a move up and you look at that weekly chart, Brian, he's kind of right. It does show that there is still some upside potential in there.
Well, it does, and the just the premium in the call options might suggest that as well. People are willing to buy the calls, now whether they're, you know, buying
good
on a
point.
Speculative bet or they're covering short positions or what have you, but there's pretty good premium contrast to a market like corn. There's just no life in the call options right now. Yeah. So that a lot of times the market, you'll see that volatility pick up, and I'm going to say it's on perception or expectation that prices can move higher. It's great to be friendly, great to be bullish. Just, again, remember, you've had a pretty good run for most producers. Yep. This is better than they were hoping for.
20-some percent recovery. Yeah,
let's keep it, right. And that's another big point there. Always look at those percentages. And when you get into areas that, you know, sometimes the numbers are just really good, remember, good things don't always last. So and when they don't last, they have a tendency to fall apart pretty quick. So
exactly.
So just you know, good risk management.
Okay. Let's go over to the grain markets. Jump right into corn here because you look at what's going on with this basis market, and the basis just tells us that either the crop is shorter than what has been indicated by USDA or the demand is stronger than what we can pick up. But and I'm not too sure that either one of them is right, Brian. I don't know.
Or both, right. Yeah. Hard to say. You know, there's other variables in there. Maybe just farmers aren't selling. And or the lighter test weight and or corn in the field and this and that and the other thing. Carry in the market had people selling corn for later delivery. So, but it's a good deal. And here's the thing. Let's go back a little bit. We saw that quarterly stocks report, the last one, dumped 300 million bushels, and that was really reflective. I think we were on about that time. We were saying, geez. Oh, no, I was on just before. I said, boy, it sure smells like we got a revision coming. And sure enough, we had a revision coming because the basis and cash were telling us something different, and it sure makes us think that. Now, what would be different? Well, this yield thing, in Brian Doherty's opinion, still needs to come down. Feed usage, I don't know. I look at cattle prices, I look at milk prices, I look at the daily hog slaughters, I look at poultry production. I don't think there's a fault for. I just don't think there's a shortfall of usage there. The problem with the corn market is that the managed money stays short right now. They look at the near-term news, which is just we can't sell very much overseas right now. Mm-hmm. And that, unfortunately, is just a function of Brazil having record crop last year and a currency issue where the dollar versus the real right at all-time highs and the world's still chasing Brazilian corn. So Brazilian corn exports up 80%, expected to be up 80% over last year at a record level, be near 40 million metric tons. That's in round numbers, 1.6 billion bushels of corn. Let me just put this in the right perspective. If we saw Brazilian exports about where they were last year, somewhere around that 22 million metric ton, and now we're at 40 or 41, so let's just use 18, there's about 40 million a metric ton. That's 720 million bushels. So your carryout number would probably be down closer to 1-1 right now.
Right.
So that's been the problem. But getting back to your point, I just don't think farmers are real aggressive sellers. And I think demand's it's just better out there. There's no real explanation for it. We're seeing historic basis levels that we've never seen before.
Right. You know, we talk about that that revision that we got in the September quarterly grain stocks report. Stocks came in 300 million bushels lighter than anybody or the most expected. And, you know, the assumption is that they needed to adjust the 2018 corn crop. But instead, they throw all that into the feed and residual category. Bill Tierney and I had a long conversation about corn feed and residual use category yesterday on the show. And, at best, it's an educated guess that goes into it. But when you look at the total number of cattle, total number of hogs, total number of poultry that are on feed right now consuming corn, Brian, I mean, it's a big number of animals that we are feeding corn.
It does make you kind of scratch your head that when you, if you had a visual on it, you would see that the grain consuming animal units, which is a formula that combines up to about 1,000 pound animal, but you combine all that together, we're at a record level, and yet we're looking at a lower number of feed units used from a year ago. So where's the difference? Well, there certainly could be some hard red winter wheat pushed into there and some other small grains. It's maybe efficiency. I don't know. I think there's some revisions that will probably end up showing up there as well. I just can't help but think that. And then when you look at, I alluded to all these Brazilian exports.
Yeah.
Those Brazilian exports, from a seasonal perspective, usually are strong when their safrinha crop is harvested. So their safrinha crop, remember, is the second crop, corn crop after early harvested beans. They've done a good job in Brazil perfecting that to a more exportable crop, but just exploded this last year. But typically those numbers, those export numbers, move up into the July, August, September window and then start to tail off. That's more of their seasonal approach. So they've got the majority of their projected corn for export already behind them. It goes back to, I'm not trying to necessarily build a bullish argument here, but I can't get away from the idea of strong basis levels, ideas that these grain-consuming animal unit numbers are at a record level. We've got some low test weight stuff that eventually gets, into the pipeline. And the last year we had a light test weight year was 2009, and we saw by the third quarter some really, significant adjustments upward that year.
Yeah, Brian sent me the chart on third quarter corn disappearance before the show here. And, I knew that it was big in that 09-10 marketing year, Brian, and I was going to go back. I've been meaning to go back and look at it. I'm so glad that you sent it to me. It's like the third highest ever.
Yeah,
go back to the 09-10. That is a fine example of what happens to your usage when you come out of a year like this with your high moisture, low test weight corn that you try to put in the bin.
Right. Yeah. So the goal isn't here to, I don't know what the goal is. I want to inform that if you have an idea or bias that you think corn prices can go higher, you've got a good argument. It's not happening right now. We're kind of stuck. There's not a lot of momentum, but I just personally can't get away from basis levels and talking to producers throughout the country and buyers and just the inability to really source grain, and then people still in the field trying to harvest grain and sun trying to dry grain, and there's snow in the north, and it's a tough thing this year.
It's a mess.
It's a long, challenging year.
Yeah, it is an absolute mess. Okay, what do you want to do with corn, Brian?
Well, I think you do some things with it. One is you take advantage of the basis. When basis gives you something historic, take advantage of that. So either lock in a basis and then sell the carry if you are okay delivering for a later date. And then I would turn around and retain the ownership on paper, and I'd get rid of the basis risk there.
Right.
And so that's one thing I would do. The other thing we do, if you're selling it right now just because you can get the strong basis, I would just go back in and replace it on paper. I think it's a reasonable risk to do so.
May calls, July calls?
You know, they're all cheap, and nobody wants them right now, so that's the time when you want to buy them.
Okay.
Get them bought. I also like this. Now, I think conventional wisdom is farmers are great at producing corn, and they kind of pulled the rabbit out of the hat again this year in some of the late planted stuff. So the conventional wisdom will plant more corn acres. Nonetheless, I think if we get a seasonal push into corn to the top side, start thinking, too, about your December calls for next year to give you the courage to really lay in some strong cash sales. Those cash sales that were sold in June last year in front of all that flooding turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. I only got 30 seconds left for you here, Brian, but I got to ask, are you hedged up in milk?
If not, you should be or should be, you know, same thing that was in the cattle market.
Yep.
Is you've got a really good run there. You've got good demand at a time of the year where it's probably overextended itself a little bit. Now, I don't want to lose too many people here, but in 14, the market hung around a little higher than it should have, and then it really had some trouble after that. Looks like the same pattern this year. Be defensive.
Gotcha. Brian, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
All right, that's Brian Doherty. Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson. We'll be back. Davis and I will wrap things up.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Commodity Classic is a great place to recharge your batteries, to reconnect with why you started farming in the first place, and why you can't imagine doing anything else. You'll be among thousands of farmers who share your thirst for knowledge and your passion for agriculture. Commodity Classic is a positive, uplifting, and inspiring environment, one that will keep you fired up when you head back home. See your future clearly, Thursday, February 27th through Saturday, February 29th in San Antonio. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
We're saying thank you to our producers. Head on out to your local Titan Machinery location December 2nd through the 7th for the best savings of the year on everything from filters, oil and fluids, to shovels and coulters. Visit titanmachinery.com/customer appreciation for more information about the discounts available on genuine Case IH parts. Beginning December 2nd, stock up and save. Titan Machinery, power and precision to grow. Learn more at titanmachinery.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges.
Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory, got Davis Michelson with me. Really good conversation there with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Defensive was play some defense. You've had some good offensive moves. Okay, we didn't do all the, you've been able to capture some basis strength. You've been able to capture a move to the upside in cattle prices. You've been able to capture a move to the upside in milk prices. Maybe now it's time to get a little defensive and put something in place there. It just feels like pretty solid thinking there. I got a text during the break there.
Okay.
My thinking, if farmers had the yield USDA says, they would move the excess bushels into the market on the tight basis. Most need a better futures price along with the better basis to move corn for their bottom line. The excess bushels aren't there. It's a very solid thought.
Yeah.
Also, the crush plants here are 17 under to 22 under on beans. They are also offering free DP through September. And this buddy of mine says, I am really questioning USDA these days. And he's never been afraid to question USDA, but he doesn't make he doesn't go out of his way to do it.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah, when the question needs to be asked, he's been willing to ask it, and he's asking it right now. How accurate are these crop estimates for corn and soybeans? And we get the annual production summary in January. We will also get the December 1 grain stocks estimate and the quarterly grain stocks report. We're going to be looking at both of those reports trying to figure out exactly if they make sense or not with what we know is going on out in the marketplace out there. And this cash market is certainly suggesting that, like Brian said, or both. Yeah. The crop may be a little smaller than what has been indicated, and demand may be a little better than what has been indicated out there in the countryside. So, okay. Speaking of USDA reports, we get a supply and demand report on Tuesday, December 10th. Okay, The question was asked on Twitter, does it make any difference? Or is it going to catch anybody's attention? I want to see. And we asked Brian Grady this morning on Markets Now in the first hour. Oh, here it is. It's from at Brett Shutt. Does the market look at the supply and demand report, the OCE report that comes out on the 10th, as anything important? It's like Brian said this morning. Yes, it's important because it's another update of the numbers. Is it expected to cause any change in direction or accelerate a move in one direction or the other on prices? Is it expected to have much impact on the overall pricing picture out there? No. That's kind of the December supply and demand report, MO. Just normally doesn't have a big impact. Did you see the tweet, Mr. Landowner Editor?
I was actually just thinking about that as you were talking about it. Yeah. I gotta scroll back and try and find it. I can't find it again.
It's from at Justin
Big sale,
Bastard.
What, 43 point something, call it 45 acres sold for $16,000 and change an acre.
16,100 an acre,
yep.
For 43.34 acres.
Yep.
Justin tagged that with no $3 corn problems here.
Right. Yep. And yeah. That, you
and
know,
then just east of me, east of me, there's, I can't confirm this, but there is talk that a piece of ground was rented for $405.
$405. Now, honestly, I'm at a loss for how.
I feel like that's coffee shop stuff, though. I don't know. I mean, unless the guy that rented it for that amount calls me up and says, "Hey, Chip, no, it's true. I paid $405 for that piece of ground." I just have a hard time believing anybody could do it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not even going to try and speculate what that puts your break even at. It's got to be well above that magic number of 700. You know, if we can call 700 a comfortable break even,
yeah,
we're definitely beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking $800, $850 you'd have in it.
So now, don't you have to have five or perhaps even five plus a bushel corn to make that work?
Well,
I mean, unless he's getting free anhydrous or something, I don't know.
No, not necessarily. And you just don't know what these situations are.
Yeah.
I mean, that piece of ground that sold for over 16,100 up in northwest Iowa, it's a very heavy livestock area up there, Davis. People got to have a manure management plan.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So there is an influence. Livestock obviously has a big influence on what's going on with the prices for ground up there in northwest Iowa.
But that's been a trend up there in northwest Iowa, too, though.
Yeah.
It has been hot this entire year. And to see a 16 handle per acre up in that area really isn't that uncommon, although it surprised me we've been able to sustain this deep into this economic difficulty.
Right. Okay. National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook. This is for December 11th through the 15th. We've got below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation expected across the Corn Belt. It's kind of the same story in the 8-14 day. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Life Imitating TV. What is the deal with Twitter? I mean, who needs more twits in their life? And now, today's tweets. At Mr. Commodity, I'm happy I lived long enough to see a Seinfeld skit be recreated in political theater. Did you hear Joe Biden challenge a heckler to a push-up contest?
You want to do some push-ups? Let's get
Mandelbaum. At Agronomy Brad, why do they even make Oreos that aren't double stuffed? Who are these people? And one more, at LBoz65, early Festivus grievance, why is there no Seinfeld store?
Good question. Thank you for listening today. Thanks also to Oliver Slope and to Brian Doherty. Tomorrow morning, it's free for all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Tim Burrock. Tomorrow afternoon, Allendale President Steve Georgie on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds.
And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end-of-season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.